Some fist bumps again.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the dirt. I was trying to look at the camera, but I look ugly, man. My face is too shiny. No, I look great.
You do look great. You look amazing.
Fantastic. I wish I had that shirt, though.
Oh,
that's a good shirt.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome to the Deeper Than Dough podcast. I'm reading it off the cup as if I forgot the name of the podcast. We have Andy King here. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Andy, we were jumping into this, but we met at a Starbucks, really for no reason. We're just going to meet. Somebody connected us, and I was like, Andy, he sounds like a cool guy, and I hope you thought the same thing as me. And then you knew you were the first employee of the investment group that we just met with, like, the week previous.
Yeah.
Like, freaking small world. Out of Logan.
Yeah.
Never even heard of this company. And you're like, oh, yeah, I know Maloof. I was like, tell me about him.
Yeah.
So that's super cool. And we were jumping in, but I wanted to get it on the podcast. What's the foundation that they do again?
So
that you and your wife are.
Yeah. So Sam. So the Maloof Foundation is what it's called. They do a lot with creating homes for like battered women and children that have been kind of caught up in child abuse and whatnot. They've partnered with. Oh my gosh! Now my mind's gone blank. What's her name that she would? Emily Smart. So they're with the Elizabeth Smart, the Elizabeth Smart Foundation. So they're kind of doing some things together, really focusing on women and children, and providing a safe place for them that, you know, the ones who've been, you know, kind of through some tough things. Because Maloof is a first and foremost, they're like a bedding company. Right, bedding and furniture company, and so
not bedding as in gambling.
No, bedding as in like sheets,
the first
pillows, all that stuff. Right. So they started, you know, providing blankets and sheets and mattresses for like certain homes, and they decided to kind of take it to the next level. So they built, I think, a few homes themselves, and do some really cool things.
That's super cool. I want to jump into that a little bit later again.
Yeah.
What did you want to be growing up?
You know, definitely wanted to play basketball growing up. That was like the dream, right?
Like, Angie's the man at basketball.
No.
Okay, where were you guys playing basketball? Because these guys, I didn't know they met.
We have a history.
We have a history. And we always had to guard each other.
Yeah, we're always
two
the
big guys.
We're always the biggest guys.
Yeah.
So we're always a, you know.
What were you guys playing, though?
So we played, it was just at a rec league in Logan. And yeah. You guys had a great team.
Yeah, it really was. Their team and our team were typically the two best teams in the league. And I mean, all these guys, a lot of them played college ball, and my crew, we had just been playing together forever, so we just played really well together. And it was battles. And I feel like it was
like, keep in mind, we're 10 years older than you.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. The only reason that we are competitive at all is these guys were so much older than us. So it was that kind of even the play.
You guys were good and you played well, but we had fun. We always had to guard each other and battle each other. So when I walked in here and I saw him,
was he a nice guy or kind of rude? Tell me about my partner.
Oh, no. Have him tell you about me, because I don't think I'd be sitting here if you guys chatted before.
I won't lie. Andy was pretty mean.
I'm really sorry.
No. I mean, it wasn't over the top. Yeah. It was strictly competitive play and everything, but he's just that guy out there that you're like, if I'm catching an elbow from anybody on this team, it's probably that
guy. It's going to be Andy's elbow.
You know, not intentionally.
Yeah, just physical
just
play.
You know.
So yeah. that was the dream going up. I'm going to be in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it was like every kid wants to be in the NBA or whatever professional league that they grow up watching, right? I come from like a long line of basketball people in my family. My dad played in college. My grandpa was like a 35, 40-year high school coach. So I thought I'd end up doing something with basketball. Just turns out, like, I wasn't nearly as good as I thought that I was.
where did you play college?
So I just played at a junior college outside of Fresno.
Nice.
Yeah, so not much, you know. And then just that group of guys that I have, we all played a little bit, and then some guys had injuries or somehow we ended up just – end up playing rec ball.
The guy
stuff.
With that was kind of bald. Did he play college ball? The taller guy.
Yeah,
good shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he play?
Mike played at Utah State. we had a guy, Clint played at CEU and Utah State. And none of us were like studs. Like, we played in college, but like we were like the bench warmers.
No, dude. You guys are pretty.
Yeah, we had some good guys, and the thing is too, we've been playing together since we were in like seventh grade.
Gotcha.
So that helps.
That's super fun.
Yeah.
How do you draw the line between this is rec league and I want to have fun, but I also want to win, and that competitive nature? Well, I don't play ball, but some of my buddies, I'm like, I would never play ball with you because you guys are like get so pissed. Like, are you enjoying this? And then the other ones are like, this is the best time. Like, we did softball. You never showed up, by the way. We just finished our season a month or so ago, and it was a blast. And it's like, we did all right, but it doesn't, like, it was fun. Every game was fun. We had music, except for one or two friends. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know. But I also see that point of the view of like, well, we are here to win. So
yeah,
going like hobby
this
versus.
This is what I tell my wife. I'm not competitive until I'm losing.
Yeah.
So as long as we're winning, I'm good and I'm cool.
It's such a difference too if it's like an actual ref'd game where someone's keeping score.
For sure.
Versus just pickup.
For sure, because if you play pickup, like you can be competitive and it can be physical, it can even be chippy, but like you eliminate like this third party who like makes decisions, which I think is a bad thing. So I've been trying to scale away from it. I play pickup every now and then, but
Wait, you're saying you do like the ref or you don't?
No, I don't. I prefer to just play pickup.
I like the ref just because if there's somebody there ref, I feel like the quality of the game is just so much higher. Everyone's truly doing their best, whereas pickup ball, first couple games, people are, I mean, they're trying, but then they get tired and just kind of.
I just find that like most guys are actually really good dudes.
Yeah.
Right? And most guys will like, if they foul someone in pickup, they'll say, I fouled you.
Right.
Yeah. Right? But when you're. When you foul someone and there's a ref and you're trying to, like, hide it, like, no, you're not. I didn't foul him. What are you talking about?
I never get upset in pickup, and I yell at the ref so much.
Yeah.
It's
a challenge. I think, you know, here in Utah, there's a lot of church ball that gets a little out of hand, so.
Or Vasa ball.
Yeah, or Vasa ball, or whatever.
I've done that, dude. I fit right in. I'm a wrestler, you know? Uh-huh. So I'm all about the elbows, and I'm just swinging. Like, I'll step on your ankles, and just I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm terrible.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I'm curious just because outside of basketball, I don't really know you, Andy, but just for the listeners too, so what's your background? What do you do now, and what does life look like for you?
Yeah, so still living in Logan. I know most people in Utah don't know where Logan is. They're like, think it's in Canada. Like, they're like,
Logan's
you live in
good
North?
Land.
Oh, it's so far away. It is the promised land.
It is.
Not really, but
I love Logan.
It's a great place, although it's super cold up there right now. Like, it's 10 degrees colder than it is down here, so I see why you guys stay down here. Winters are miserable. But, no, I live up in Logan, do a couple of things. So I've been in the supplement industry for the last about 15 years and been on the raw material side of that, so working with brands on bringing new products to life. And really the last 2 years been focusing on flavors, and it's kind of crazy.
Oh, I just got an email, actually, and I'm pretty sure it's you family. And from Carissa?
Yeah.
Forwarded it to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this company's based out of Cincinnati. I'm a part owner in it, and we're trying to grow up. But we do flavor systems that go into, like, energy drinks, supplements. We also do foods. I think we've talked a little bit about collaborating on some stuff.
Connected with Josh.
We
didn't have our development team already really built out. No, now we do. So
yeah,
if we have a connection.
We'll talk, but that's kind of where I'm at. That's what I do. Kind of is my biggest thing that I do. So I married my wife. She's my high school sweetheart.
All right.
So
awesome. Skyview, you know, Logan.
Skyview High.
Nice.
I was class of 2003. She was 2004. So. We have four kids. We live up in Logan, and we opened up a fitness studio in 2017 that's basically focused towards women and group fitness. And we started that company. We kind of went through a family tragedy. We had a nephew who passed away. This was, 8 years ago now, 7 or 8 years ago. He passed away, and it kind of put kind of this dark cloud over the family for some time. And my was the son of my wife's older sister, and they're very close. Like, they grew up sharing a room, and they're still best friends. In fact, I was just in Vegas with them last weekend.
Oh, fun.
They started doing some group fitness stuff, high fitness, which is pretty popular here in Utah.
Yeah.
At Voss or wherever you want to go. And it kind of helped pull them out of kind of this depression that they were in, and kind of this heaviness that they had after the loss of my nephew. And so just based off of, you know, what it did for not only my wife, but her sister and the other sisters in the family, she wanted to open that up because she felt like there's so many people that are dealing with so many different things, women especially, who at times get trapped, you know, with being at home with all the kids and really have no place to go or we go scrum on the basketball court, but, you know, our wives really don't have a place to go. And so that was kind of the vision, was let's give them a place to go. And really, you know, fitness is one part of it, but we always talk about how fitness really is not the, like, that's not the reason why we started the business. We started the business to help people have a place, really a community, and then being able to get, you know, the endorphins and things from moving your body and doing hard things with other people that kind of helps on the mental side of things. So we've been doing that since 2017. Fun little business. My wife kind of runs the day-to-day, and I help her on the back end on, you know, doing the books and some of the things like that. But, you know, it's her show, and it's fun to watch her do what she does.
It's awesome.
What's it called?
It's called The Studio.
The Studio.
Studio, and I think we'll link it kind of a, I think we'll link it
yeah
in the notes, but
and it's in Logan.
Yeah, it's in Logan. But on top of that, so when COVID came, we had to shut down, right? I think we closed for, I want to say, only 2 months, but we launched an online version of our classes. So we live stream classes, like 4 classes a day, to an online community, which is really awesome. Like, it's kind of incredible how it's grown. The business up in Logan, you know, we have about 200 to 250 active members that are coming on a regular basis, between like all sorts of different membership levels. And then online we have close to 400 members streaming classes. So if you can't find, if you're not in Logan and you want, and your wife's looking for something, you can stream it online and do it at home.
Is awesome. Your marketing different than other gyms? Like, are you guys marketing the kind of that story behind it with your wife?
Yeah, my wife is just awesome with social media. Like, she's done such a good job, and it's really just we don't sell weight loss. We don't sell we almost say that we're, you guys seen Dodgeball?
Yeah.
There's like
yeah.
Average Joe's gyms and there's Globo Gym. Like, we're the Average Joe gym for women, and it's really more like, you need to get out of your house, come rub shoulders with people that are like you, that are going through the same types of things that you're going through. And, man, it's just been incredible to kind of see this community come together that's been built. And, you know, I helped kind of start the thing, but, like, it's been my wife and watching her and the other people that she's got involved. Her and her younger sister pretty much run the business. It's really incredible to see what they've done.
You almost wonder if... working out for purposes other than losing weight or getting in shape, if you end up working out even more, I'll bet you do.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, obviously fitness is kind of a side benefit, but really, you know, a lot of these group fitness classes are dance based. So I've gone to some of those classes. I'm terrible at them, but I go to support.
Are they fun though?
They're super fun.
I could do that.
They're super fun.
Like, I go to it. I'm never going to go run on the treadmill for now. I'll go play pickleball for 3 hours though.
You know? Right.
It's finding.
No, it's finding what you love, right? And so a lot of these, it's not to say that every girl grew up dancing, because that's not the case. But, you know, we get to continue to play basketball or go out and play golf or whatever. We can kind of continue some of those activities. But for women, like, you get done with the, you know, dancing through high school or whatever age you get done, and you're done. Like, there's no other option for you. Mm-hmm. So to come and kind of move their bodies in a way that's like following choreography and doing, you know, it kind of brings back some of the stuff they grew up with, and it's really cool. So it's more about them having fun and finding an activity that they enjoy.
Yeah, there's such a strong link with physical exercise and mental health.
Yeah, no question.
It's not just, I mean, there's the actual physical aspect of the endorphins. Like, that does makes me feel better. But there's also the community. Like, I love going to the gym. I have a trainer. And Wade, you still need to come, man. Watson. I mean, you met Watson.
Yeah.
He's freaking awesome. You know? I'm like, I'm going to go hang out with this dude for an hour, and we're going to lift kind of in between.
Yeah.
But he makes it so much more enjoyable. So I get the endorphins, and I also get that, like, this is fun. I also do yoga classes at Valsa, usually twice a week, and that's fun. Linda greets me by name every time. I'm like, freaking, I love you, Linda.
Way to go, Linda.
She's
sick. Well, it's just great to go to a place where people know your name, right? And what's really interesting is some people that, you know, we've had the gym now for almost 6 years, and the amount of people that have come and, like, made their best friends, their, like, lifelong friends in this community is, like, through the roof. And so to see some of these stories of ladies who were just, like, super depressed, like, home with two or three toddlers, or just, and just kind of husband's out working or going to school or whatever the case may be, to get out and to meet other people and to have something to look forward to, just that, the community part of it is more,
especially if it's a platform of, like, there's a why behind it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like my going to a gym, and you know that person had a purpose, and it had to do with mental health. And it's like, oh, well, then maybe I could be open about my mental health.
Yeah,
you know, and then it's
exactly
creating that.
It's finding people that are kind of going through similar things that you're going through, and being able to,
which is probably everybody.
Share. Yeah,
I think it's more finding people that are willing to talk about.
No, it's so true.
Open with it.
It's so true. Like, I had one of my best friends who played on that basketball team. He's living in France now. He was back in town for a week or so, and we went to lunch. And we ran into another one of our buddies we went to In-N-Out Burger.
Is that up and going in Logan now?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Finally.
And the last time I was up there, I saw it was under construction.
But we had a buddy come in, and then we just all started talking, and we're all about the same age, so I'm 38. You know, I don't know if we're middle-aged, we're close. If we're not, we're close. But just to hear other guys, like, talking about the struggles that they have, you know, whether that's work-related, business-related, family-related, like, it's nice to know that you're not alone. Because I think oftentimes we, you know, we want to put on this face, or we want to put on this facade as dudes, that we're like, oh, we got this, we'll figure it out, we can, you know. And then to hear that other people don't have it figured out is, like, super helpful, because you're like, okay, so I'm not alone.
I went to my nephew's mission homecoming, and I don't go to church ever. But I went to this, and I loved his talk, because he's just like, I've served a mission, and he goes talking about his journey through the mission, and the first 20 minutes of his talk was just how bad it sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I hated my first companion, hated my second companion, didn't believe any of this, I thought this was stupid, then I got, you know, I denied my anxiety for so long, and then, but the whole thing was, like, he was open about it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, including my own, like, obviously I had struggles on my mission. The homecoming talk was just like, oh, everything's so good, you know?
Sure.
And it was such a great, fresh of, you know, relief, I guess, to hear his talk of, like, he was just open about it.
Yep.
And I think we need to do that more. I mean, whether that's church or just society,
sure.
Just like, life isn't perfect, and that's okay.
And it's fine. Yeah, it's important to know. I mean, it's a fine line, right? Because you don't want to walk around and be my life's harder than your life, which tends to be the case with, you know, when you look at social media and things at times, that tends to be the message.
Right?
It's either, like, my life is perfect or my life is worse than yours. At least that's how I feel, how I see it. Now, I'm not a big, big social media guy. But yeah, it's having, I think what the problem is that with social media is that the relationships aren't real, right? There's like maybe a, you know, you follow someone, but you don't really know them. You just kind of know what they post about themselves.
Right.
And so really it's having personal relationships where you can share challenges and triumphs that really makes you happy. Right. When you have these one-sided relationships that are, you know, are created on like a phone or some digital platform, they're only that, they're at the surface level, and so really taking the time to get to know someone, whether that's at a gym or whether that's, you know, over cookies in a podcast or whatever, then you really get to know each other, and that brings a lot of satisfaction and happiness.
It does, those relationships. So you've done several businesses.
Yeah.
What are you searching for in all your businesses? What's kind of what's driving you?
Well, it's a very good question. I've done a number of different things. I think the main thing is, and as I've gotten older, I've really gotten to know that, like, I want to make an impact outside of myself. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest lessons I think I've learned along that journey is, like, if you can separate yourself from the result, so, like, if you can not have money be the focus or not have prestige be the focus, then you can really make a lot of difference, and you can really, as a person, be a lot more fulfilled, because it's the action of, you know, whether right now I am building this flavor company that we're hoping to exit sometime in the next year to year and a half. We've got my wife's business. I run a small marketing agency that I started with a buddy of mine that we've been building. And I guess where my focus has changed is I just really want to help people who've had problems that I've already had, right? So I read a book once. I can't remember who wrote it, but it was like the person that you're most able to help is the person that you were, mm-hmm. right?
That's really cool, yeah.
So, like, you know, I've been a small local business owner before, and I know how hard it is to get people through your doors. And so if I can go and help other small business owners get people through their doors, that solved a problem for them that I know they have because I had it, right?
Was there a point that switched for you?
Yeah, I would really say, like, within the last maybe 5 years.
Was there something that actually happened? It switched for me, and I trace it back to, like, I sold the solar company, and then I realized I was working mm-hmm. too hard.
Yeah.
And then I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, not too hard, too long.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wait, what am I doing this for? If I told myself I was doing it to sell, and then I sold it, I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
Right. So that was like a wake up call for me, and yeah. be like, okay, I'm. It's not about the money. Let me go figure this out now. Was there anything like that?
Yeah. You know, I think when you're young, like when you're in your 20s, you're just like doing whatever you can to survive, right?
Yeah.
So we got married. I was still in school. My wife was still in school. She graduated. She started teaching, and she got pregnant. And I still had a year of school left. And then we found out that she was pregnant with twins. And so we had twins in May, the same month that I graduated from Utah State.
Wow.
And I was like, hey, we had no money. So it was like, obviously it was like, okay, how do I put bread on the table and how mm-hmm. do I keep a roof over our heads? And you kind of grind for a little bit down that road. And then at a certain point, you're like, okay, now I have a little bit more money. I can pay my bills. I'm not worried about it. Okay, what do I want? And then, you know, for me, I think I personally fell into the trap of like, well, let's keep climbing. What's the next level? What's the next level? What's the next level? And I was able to do that within the niche that I was in within the supplements. You know, I was, you know, an account manager, and then a, you know, account executive, and then a you know, sales manager, and then you just kind of move up, right? And at a certain point, you're like, what am I doing? Like, what? Will it make me happier if I move up? Like, I might make a little more money, but is it going to make me happier? Mm-hmm. And what's that trade-off, right? And as my kids got older, then I've realized, like, if it takes me away from my kids or it takes me away from my family and the things that I hold most dear, then, like, is it worth it? Is $50,000 more a year worth, you know,
missing the
50 hours less a year with my kids? And it's not. Do you know what I mean?
How do you do that personal check-in with yourself where you really kind of decide, hey, this is worth it, and so I'm going to really put a lot of hard work and time towards this, or it's not worth it, I want more time with my family. Like, where do you find that balance?
No, I think it's a good question. And one thing that I've started doing over the past few years, which has been super helpful, I read this in a book, and I read a lot of books, but I'm terrible at remembering who says what. But I try to take some time just to myself, like a day or two where, like, I'll go and I'll check into a hotel, or I'll go up to, like, my parents' cabin or something and spend a minute alone where I can really review, like, okay, this is what I've done over the last, you know, 6 months. Is it moving me closer to, you know, what I want, or is it moving me further away? Is it allowing me to maintain some level of balance? Like, the idea of where everything's going to always be balanced is, like, it's false. It's not going to happen, right? There's going to be times where it's work heavy. There's going to be times where it's family heavy. But I think as long as you're willing to have, like, an open and honest conversation with yourself, and like I said, I completely unplug. I'll turn my phone off. I turn my emails off. Like, that's my biggest problem is emails all day long, right? But if you can turn that off and you can say, okay, where am I going? Does this work? Is this working? In 2 years, is this what I want to be doing? And really kind of asking yourself those questions and then mapping it out and then, you know, trusting yourself and kind of going and executing the plan and then looking back at what did we accomplish, what did we do? You know, and like just recently, you know, we've landed some really nice business with some very big sports nutrition customers, which has required me to be on the road a lot. Like, I've traveled 6 weeks in a row, which is way more than I normally do, way more than I'd like to. But, you know, I had a aside from sitting down with yourself, you know, I had conversations with my wife where it's like, hey, this is the deal. Is this worth it? Are you okay? And I think making sure that your spouse or your significant other first, or whoever.
Unplugging first and just figuring it out yourself. Yeah. And then taking that responsibility. How often do we unplug? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I've had some of my best ideas driving. And sometimes I'll just go for it because I'm like, I can't be on the phone. Mm-hmm. Can't play games. Mm-hmm. I can't, you know, it's like I'm just there. Just last night I was listening to, I forgot. Anyways, it was some guy that supposedly lived over 200 years old, and it's, who knows if it was real, right? New York Times did an article on him. This was in like 1944 that the article was released, and he gave a few pieces of advice on longevity. And one of those was sit like a tortoise. Mm-hmm. Like, what is sit like a tortoise? And it was like, this guy would literally just sit there for hours with his eyes closed. He's not sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
He's just chilling, you know, or meditating. And so I'm laying in my bed last night, and I'm like, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna sit like a tortoise, and it's hard because then I start thinking of things, and I'm like, oh, I need to write that down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm on my phone, and then I see these, oh, freak! Now I have all these text messages, and it's like, stop.
Yeah,
it's so hard because we're so. I mean, yeah, I grab my phone for notes, and then boom, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I just listen. I was doing meditation while I was driving. Again, I do a lot of, I like driving. And doing things like that. And this guy, Sam Harris, it was the meditation app that I sent you yesterday, Wade.
Yeah.
Waking Up. Super, super cool meditation app. I've done a lot, and that's my favorite one by far. He was talking about how we don't spend an hour to read. He's like, think about the last time you spent an hour and just read with no distractions, not talking to anybody, not picking up your phone once.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how old was I when I was in high school? You know, like that's how long it's been. That I've read an hour straight without doing anything.
Yeah. No, I think that's so, so interesting. You know, there's a lot of stories of guys who are super successful, like uber successful, like billionaire level, where they take an hour each day and they completely unplug and they just like chill, right? Yeah. And I'm like, how do you do that? Like, I got four kids, I got a job,
and my thoughts come to my head, and then I have to write it down, and then that screws me up. Yeah. I'm like, nope, I just gotta chill.
Yeah,
it's so hard.
Yeah, no, it's I've been going on a lot of walks too lately. Mm-hmm. Not now because Logan's so dang cold, but all summer that's a, you know, going for just, my wife calls them mental health walks. You know, if things get heavy with the house with kids or whatever, it's like, I'm taking a 15-minute mental health walk.
That's good.
Go out and you don't even turn on your music or nothing. Yeah. It's just you and your thoughts. I mean, you know, it helps to sort things out if you can kind of turn off some of those distractions, for sure.
Yeah, it's just you and your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been one of my goals on my mental health journey, is like, a lot of times we're going through and I'm meeting with other, it's like, what is my purpose? Like, that's always one of my top purposes. I want to just be with me and be more comfortable without thinking, oh, I'm bored.
Right.
I need music. I need a game. I need this. I need to talk to somebody. I need to invite somebody to go with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just want to drive or walk without anything.
It's so hard though, right? Like, it's so hard, but I think that's, I mean, what you're saying is like spot on. I've tried to do the same. It's just like, okay, how can I spend less time being distracted?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I'm the same way. It's like, oh, I'll write down a note on my phone, and then you get three or four notifications, and
then you have to,
and then the next thing you know, it's been like 45 minutes, and you're like, well, that sucks.
Last night, I'm on my massage chair, which is stimulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm listening to a podcast while I'm playing a stupid video game. And that's when I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And then I forgot what I started researching, and then that led me to the sit like a tortoise. I was like, okay, I'm going to go upstairs, lay in my bed. I'm gonna sit like a freaking tortoise. And Matt was chill. Like, this is so hard. But that is definitely something I want to do more, is just what comes up in those moments, and why are we avoiding that?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have my own reasons for why I avoid them, for sure.
Let's hear it.
I think at times, I personally get so, I don't want to say nervous, maybe anxious, of like all the things that need to get done, and what are the potential outcomes of all of those things, right? So I've been really, so I think sometimes I'll distract myself simply because I don't want to like think about it, right? And so it's like, well, if I jump onto a video game, or I jump onto, listen to some like obscure Joe Rogan podcast about some like conspiracy theory or something, it will completely distract me, and then it gets me through 2 hours.
Right.
Which isn't the best way to go about things. One thing I've really been trying to focus on lately is trying to do actions detaching myself from the results. And it's a really interesting concept that I've heard, hear about it like with flow state and different things like that. But it's, you know, if you can do something without an expectation of getting anything in return, and I think this is a big thing with mental health and relationships, if you're willing to invest, and know that you're going to receive results, but you do the actions without expecting anything. Mm-hmm. So I think about this in a relationship. Like if you're with your spouse, you know, you can do the dishes so that maybe later your wife will give you that look, right? Or you can do the dishes because you love and want to serve her.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're not doing it for anything extra.
Yeah.
Right. And you think about this from a business perspective, right? You know, I can go meet Maxwell at a Starbucks just to try to meet an interesting person and get to know him a little bit without expecting him to invite me on his podcast or whatever.
Podcast didn't even exist
then. Yeah, I know, but whatever.
That's your intentions. That's how clear they were.
No, okay. But I'm saying like without expecting something else,
right?
And you can truly, because it allows you to truly invest in that person. And then basically the reward is what you get or what you become by doing the action, mm-hmm. right? You grow when you serve others.
Right.
You grow when you invest into your mental health. You grow when in a business relationship, like you're there to, you know, serve others, right? And then the results will come, right? I have two nephews that play basketball right now, and they're in high school, and they're both very, very good. It's got to be high school. It's going to be good this year. All
right.
Got
to watch them.
And I only have a stake in it because my nephews play. But I think about this from an athletic standpoint. Oftentimes, you know, think about when you're growing up and you've got a wrestling meet or a basketball game, and then you've got all these parents, or you know, as you get older, you get like maybe college coaches are going to come watch you or whatever. And then you get so worried about the result of like, am I going to make the shot? Am I going to miss the shot? Am I going to play good? Am I not? Right, and you get so in your head about that you end up you see a lot of people not do well under those circumstances, versus, like, if you've put in the work, you've put in effort, you can just kind of trust what you're doing without, who cares about the result? Like, you might have, you know, I was talking about this, I think just the other night with someone, and I was like, okay, I feel bad because I feel like I'm kind of wavering.
Just go, man.
But we were having this conversation, and I was like, okay, what happens when there's 1 second on the clock and you have the ball in your hands and it's you that gets to shoot the ball? What are you thinking? You're like, what are your thoughts? Are you thinking, oh, please don't miss it, or please go in, please, right? No, it's like, no, I've done the work. Like, I'm going to go through the exact same motion I've gone through a million times, right? And I'm going to trust it,
mm-hmm.
right? And if it goes in, it goes in. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But there's nothing I can do about it. I'm worrying about what's going to happen. Is not going to help you.
Yeah, we had a kicker that played for BYU, and that's exactly what he said. He's mm-hmm. like, the good kickers and the bad kickers, they don't care if they're going to miss it or not.
Yeah.
Because it's already made, you know,
mm-hmm.
in their mind, and it's all that mentality.
Well, and that's, there used to be a point in high school, because I thought I would go play college ball, I broke my ankle, I wasn't good enough anyway, so. But I put in so much work shooting, And that was kind of my role, was I was the spot-up shooter.
Dude can shoot the ball, by the way.
I used to
kick. He put like 10 on us one game.
I used to be able to when I was practicing, but that's the thing is, when I was putting in the work, when I was putting in the repetitions, I was the guy who was like, give me the freaking ball. Like, if someone got a technical foul, I wouldn't even let my friends
decide. You just walk up.
Give me the ball. Yeah. Like, of course I'm going to shoot it. Like, who else would shoot it? I put in way more work. I clearly have the best track record. I'm the guy doing it. And then as soon as I stopped putting in all those repetitions, stopped practicing, especially like the last 3 or 4 years as I've played with buddies, I'm very like, I don't care if I take the shot. I don't care if I just set a pick the entire game. Yeah. That's all I do. I'm just kind of out there having fun with the buddies, which is great for me now. But just that mental edge of, you know, you put in the work, you put in the time, and it really it changes your mind.
Yeah. But my thought on that lately has been like, well, think about that. How do you translate that into your life?
Right.
Right? Like, into your relationships. I'm the biggest believer that the quality of our relationships determines the quality of our life, right? You know, I think you've got maybe have read Clayton Christensen's How You Measure Your Life book, which is a phenomenal book, and he basically talks about the quality of your relationships determines the quality of your life. So how can we take that principle and put that into what you're doing as a husband, as a father, as a friend, right? Like, what are those repetitions that you need to do?
Well, and honestly, when you were saying, you know, am I cleaning the dishes for the look later, or am I cleaning the dishes just because I want to do that and I'm not keeping score and I just want to do it and I'm not expecting anything? There's been times, I'll admit, when I'll come home and there's dirty dishes in the sink and I'm just like, what the heck? What did you do today? Why aren't the dishes clean? And like, maybe I ought to let her just do the dishes because, you know, it's her turn or something like that. Which I think is just a completely wrong way to do it, because if I'm proactively saying, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm not expecting anything out of it, she'll start to do that too, I think. And then if we're both doing that, man, that is just, that's really bliss. I mean, that's happiness right there.
There's this principle that, I think it's Brian Tracy who I first heard it from. It's basically 50-50 is a losing proposition in a relationship, right? If I only do something so that you'll scratch my back, 50-50 sounds fair, but it's a losing proposition. So you got to be 100% invested into the relationships that matter to you, right? With zero expectation of anything in return, right? And that's hard to do, but you got to have like faith or hope that obviously the relationship will flourish, or whether that's with a spouse or with a business partner or with a customer, right? But really, if you care about that person, then you should be invested in taking care of them. Now, their happiness doesn't, like, you can't, what you do can't determine their happiness. They have to determine that for themselves. But your reward or our reward should be the person we become by doing the things that need, you know,
it is. It's
that,
all
they invest in.
Focus in the journey, right? Yeah. Not the, I don't want to sit still because I'm worried about the future. How do I just be present? So,
yeah.
Well, I think what that does to you mentally and emotionally too, being proactive in doing stuff without having expectations, you stop keeping score, you stop worrying, you stop holding a grudge, you stop, you know, all of those things, and that's extremely freeing.
Yeah, I think, big time.
I mean, you feel so much better, you feel so much lighter.
It is, which brings us to the final question. Andy, you've been great, by the way. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
What does Andy want to be known for when you're dead? Like, what's the legacy that you want to leave behind and you want people to remember you by?
Yeah, again, I think just basically what we've been talking about, the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your relationships. You guys listen to Alex Hormozy occasionally. You heard of him. So he started a company called Gym Launch, and he's kind of a bigger influencer guy, I guess you would say. But he's like, legacy's kind of BS. Like, you don't really know what your great-great-grandpa did, right? I don't fully believe that. But what he's saying is, like, the best thing you can do is invest in the relationships that you have now, because when everything's all said and done and you know, it's your time to be done, right? people will remember how you made them feel. People are going to remember the quality of that relationship. And so, for me, I want to be remembered as someone who really cared about others and really invested in others. Because I know that if I do that, then I'm going to become the best version of myself, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not doing it for that reason, but I know that if I make sure that as many people as I can come in contact with, whether that's through business, whether that's through church or, whatever avenue, that if I can improve their lives in some sort of way, then, I feel like I'll be a pretty happy guy.
Sweet, man.
Love it. So yeah. Where can we follow what was the name of the gym again?
So the gym is called it's the studio. You can follow it on Instagram. It's at Studio Fit Logan. So Studio Fit, one word, .Logan. Awesome. At Studio Fit .Logan. If you want to follow me, you can. I'm not a huge social media guy, but I do post some things.
I'm going to go give you a follow right after this.
It's at andyking.1. So, and I think we'll put the stuff in the notes. And then you can look me up on LinkedIn as well if you want. If people want to talk or if anything that we talked about, inspires someone to, have some thoughts or something, they want to bounce it off somebody, I'm always, always happy to talk.
Sweet. Thanks for coming on, Andy.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Oh, your cookie's all messed up.
Dude, this cookie's amazing.